Velus Jones Jr., is he NFL ready? After 6 years in college, that's long enough to get your master's. Does that mean he'll master the NFL? That's right, bad puns again. Welcome to another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast starting right now. Oh, if you hear that chanting, you know what time it is, folks. That's right. It's another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. And if you don't know this ugly mug, I'm Bobby LaMarco. I'm the host of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'll be joined shortly by one of my colleagues, a Razzball Ring of Honor B-Don, to talk a little bit about Velus Jones Jr. Before we do all that, we want to make sure everybody is following us across the board. Great news. The NFL, Razzball NFL side, we now have ADP data. Make sure you're going to Razzball.com, football.razzball.com, and checking out the ADP data. We have ESPN, Yahoo, Sleeper, you name it, we got it. We also have consensus dynasty rookie rankings from multiple sites, including RotoBaller, Pro Football Network, and also Fantrax. So really excited to have that information for you as well. So go make sure you go to Razzball.com for all that content. Plus, make sure you're going to check out all the great content we have for articles for baseball, basketball, hockey, and football dropping nearly every single day. And finally, make sure you're following on IG and TikTok. We're doing daily videos on there as well. ADP price checks, you name it, we got it. And make sure you subscribe, people. Subscribe to the Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube channel. All right, let's bring in my guest for today. His name is B-Don. B-Don, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much, man. How you doing?
I'm good. You can follow B-Don on Twitter at RazzB-Don right on the screen. You can make sure you follow him there as well. Make sure you check out all his great content on Razzball.com as well. But the more important reason why you're here today is you're one of our main Bears fans. So let's hear it. We got you on today to talk about Velus Jones Jr. being drafted by your Bears. So what was your first thought? Were you excited? Are you happy? Tell us what you learned about Velus Jones Jr.
So I guess first thing off, I've heard Velus and I've heard Velus, so I'm not sure yet which one is actually the correct pronunciation. Secondly, I mean, he did spend more time apparently in college than like Chris Winkie. I think he's getting Social Security soon. That's good to get out of a third round pick. But I mean, he's 6 foot, 204. He runs a 4.3/1.40. He's a special teams guy. I think that's the primary reason we got him is to be a return man and also work on the return team. So that's what I'm thinking, at least off the bat here. We can get into his profile a little bit here as we go on.
So let's talk a little bit about Velus Jones. Sorry about that. I was on mute. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about a couple of things with Allen Rodgers. A lot of decent amount of opportunities, of course, with Allen Robinson leaving last year, but also Marquise Goodwin, Damari Bird, Damian Williams, Jimmy Graham. There isn't that many notable names behind Darnell Mooney, but pretty much they cleaned house with the new coaching staff coming in, Luke Getsy. The depth chart right now behind Darnell Mooney isn't really bright. It's Byron Pringle, Equanimeous St. Brown, Cole Kmet, and then, of course, you got the running backs. So I guess my question is, Velus Jones Jr., do you think because of those 6 years in college and he's a little bit more polished at 25 that he could automatically step right into the starting lineup week one?
So what I'll say is, because of his special teams nature, because I think that's the reason the Bears took him primarily in the third round, I think there is a decent chance he's making the opening day roster. Now, that does not mean that I think he's going to be starting, you know, wide receiver two or wide receiver three, because I don't think he's there. I mean, even though he spent, you know, 25 years in college, he really didn't. Like, his stats are very mediocre, despite the fact that his last few years he was obviously at an age that was beyond the standard college player. We get worried when seniors kind of blow up out of nowhere because they're then older and then potentially beating up on younger players. He was 24 years old, and it still wasn't a overly impressive receiving work for him. Like I said, most of his work is return specialist. I think, he can run, he can work inside or outside. That's a benefit for him. I think that buys him a few more opportunities. That being said, he didn't run overly complicated routes. It's a lot of screens, slants, stop and goes, those kind of things. So the hands are pretty iffy, a lot of body catching. I feel like a lot of special teamers kind of have that issue because that's how you field the punt, is you do kind of use the body to cradle it a little bit more than you do, you know, catching the ball over the middle. But he is like, everything that's good about him comes from his special teams ability. He's not afraid to go over the middle. He'll pull through tacklers. He'll finish off a run. He can bounce out. He has really good balance. But like everything else in the actual receiving work, still pretty average, I would say. His route running's maybe average at best, even with his polished career. So I think the best thing going for him is, again, the special teams work, which gets him in a roster spot. And then the fact that, as you named all those people that the Bears brought in, it is just the who's who of disappointing players, guys that people once liked for some reason or another that just have bombed out and depleted. It is Darnell Mooney. It is Cole Kmet. It is David Montgomery. And then I think from there on out, right now, as early as we're filming this in June, it's really hard to say who's taking those last kind of wide receiver two and then the slot.
You know, one of the things I will say that I liked about him, I liked his comps. They talked a little bit about Van Jefferson, Marvin Jones as the type of receiver that he could complement in the pros. Now, notably, those guys weren't really instant impact kind of guys. And I think this kind of fits perfectly what you just said. Special teams first. He's going to make his impact there. Maybe he develops as a receiver. You know, I think that, do you see some similar styles maybe to a Van Jefferson, a Marvin Jones, that kind of vertical deep threat?
I don't actually see the Marvin Jones comp. He's not really a high ball player. As I mentioned, he's more of a across the middle, short route, get it to him, let him use his special teams, his open field ability to kind of work it down the field for you. So I don't necessarily see Marvin Jones. Van Jefferson I can see, because Van Jefferson did do a lot of that in college. He did a lot of the underneath work, and then they transitioned him into the long work in the pros. I do think he's an interesting flyer for best ball because of his speed, because of his playmaking ability, because one play and all of a sudden you've got yourself, a top receiver for the week potentially. So that is an area where I would potentially be looking at Velus Jones Jr. more so than like your standard 10 team, 12 team redraft, or even early rounds of a dynasty league.
Yeah, one of the things I will say, his coach in Tennessee did have some success with guys coming into the NFL. He coached Gabriel Davis, who notably from UCF is now with the Bills. He's got stepping into a bigger role. Kenny Stills from back in the day was coached by his college coach. And Sterling Shepard, which, I think we see the talent, hasn't stayed healthy as a Giants fan. Trust me, I know. So there has been some success coming out. But you did say he ran kind of a simple route tree. So I guess maybe that might be something that kind of delays his development just a little bit. But it sounds from the offseason news and notes that he is buttoned up. He sounds like he is a professional. He sounds like coming in with the right mindset. I guess, is there anything from early offseason news that you've heard about this kid that gets you excited for him long term?
I mean, long term, no, because all the guys you mentioned, kind of other than Sterling Shepard, who kind of popped out of the gate, and I think he's clearly one of the more talented ones out of the group. All of them took a little bit of time to develop, and with Jones, like, he doesn't have time to develop. By the time he develops, he's going to be aging and be slowing down. So that's my concern. I think he's, we have a return guy for the next 4 years that's under contract, on a third year or a third round deal. So that's what I think he's going to be primarily again. I'm interested to see how we use him. They ran a lot of like option routes or option plays in Tennessee. So it was a lot of kind of reads, and he kind of played the role of dump off wide receiver. So that's where the simple route tree comes from. It was really, Tennessee didn't run an expansive route tree with their offense. It's just not what they do.
Okay. Yeah. So the other thing too is I wanted to look at the history of Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus as defensive coordinator for the Colts. Also, his time, Luke Getsy's time with the Packers, just to see how rookies have been, with these kind of coaches, how they've seen rookies, overseen rookies on teams. And Luke Getsy has a long history with the Packers. He was originally with the Mike McCarthy staff, and then he jumped over to the LaFleur staff in 2019. You know, obviously, even guys like Davante Adams that come to mind didn't have big-time rookie seasons, wide receiver 74. They drafted Amari Rodgers last year. He didn't have much of an impact early on as well. When you look at Matt Eberflus and his time with the Colts, you look at guys like Michael Pittman, same thing, wide receiver 79. He took a backseat to more veteran presences. Paris Campbell, actually, he can't stay healthy, but he's got off to a relatively slow start as a rookie as well. So maybe rookies aren't necessarily year one fantasy impacts with this kind of coaching staff. But let's dive into his ADP. Maybe that'll just kind of – the good news is he's going outside the top 200. So best ball-wise and stuff like that, it's very low draft capital to even invest in him. But look at dynasty purposes. He's going 39th overall. Right behind a player I know you kind of like, Justin Ross. I saw you took him in a recent mock draft with the CBS Sports guys, and he's going at behind the fourth-round rookie for the Packers, Romeo Doubs. So I guess 39th overall, it seems like pretty low draft capital, but are you even interested in taking a flyer on him?
I mean, I would definitely take Doubs and Ross over him. I normally would take Doubs over Ross. It was just one of those things in that one. I just wanted to take Ross because he tends to go early. I've drafted with a number of those guys before. So I know that people are looking to take him. So if you want him, you have to take Ross. He's not getting the undrafted player slip like you normally see. Like, undrafted players don't really perform. But he's like the story with Ross and the way he performed his freshman season. I'm interested. I'm still think that the caliber of player is there. Reports are solid so far, but you know, it's early and I don't really care what reports are at this point. I want to see who's making the cuts. And then I'll start really digging in on who I'm hard, you know, really pushing towards in redraft leagues. But for dynasty, yeah, I think he's worth a late pick. And I think in most leagues you can grab him late because he did go undrafted. But yeah, I would take Jones after both of those guys. But again, just because of the age, I mean, even though he's a wide receiver, it still matters. Age is still important when we're building dynasty teams. If you get down to it and you're in the fourth round and he's sitting there, sure, I think there's some usefulness because once you get in the fourth round, we're talking about guys that may not even make rosters at that point. So knowing that he's probably going to at least make the roster, that's something to take out of it in the fourth round rather than taking, like a third string running back that's probably not making the team. And he does. He's on and off the active list week to week.
Yeah, I agree. I think redraft, I'm perfectly okay with him being outside the top 200. I don't even think I'm going to take any flyers on him. Just a lot of moving parts. New coaching staff. What's the deal with Justin Fields long term this season? How good is he going to be? What's the target competition behind Darnell Mooney? Is it going to be Cole Kmet? Are the running backs going to be heavily involved? Still a lot of uncertainty there, so I will fade him in. Dynasty, 39, like you just said, at 39, you're like picking from day three guys, undrafted guys, and he's a third-round pick at least. So I do believe that I would take him in that if you do have a fourth-round pick. But that's all we got for today. B-Dot, I want to thank you for jumping on the show to talk about Velus Jones Jr. Make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. We're breaking down videos. We have great content coming this week. We're reviewing our dynasty rankings and also our ADP data right on the site. So make sure you're going to razzball.com to check out all the latest stuff that we have for baseball, hockey, basketball, and football. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. That man is B-Don. We're out of here.